The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. About Cherry is a new film which explores the world of porn, starring Ashley Hinshaw, James Franco, Heather Graham, Dev Patel, and Lily Taylor. It premiered at the Berlin International Film Festival. Cherry is about Angelina, an 18-year-old girl on the verge of finishing high school. Angelina's mother is an alcoholic, and her stepfather is violent and unpredictable. One morning, her boyfriend suggests she take naked pictures for money. She balks at first, but then does the photo shoot and uses the money to run off with her best friend to San Francisco. In San Francisco, while cocktail waitressing in a strip club, Angelina meets Francis, a well-off lawyer who offers to introduce her to a different kind of world, a place full of expensive dresses and fancy parties. But that world is not as perfect as it first appears, and Francis has problems of his own. At the same time, Angelina, using the moniker Cherry, has begun exploring the San Francisco porn industry under the direction of Margaret, a former porn performer turned adult film director. Cherry was shot on location in the San Francisco Armory, home of kink.com. Kyle Miner on HTML Giant called about Cherry the frank and unsentimental reckoning of a life lived on the margins. Violet Blue called it an accurate, lyrical snapshot of one 18-year-old's entry into modern-day hardcore BDSM pornography. It's a film that performs the superhuman feat of telling several real stories at once while composing a compelling hero's journey into and through several hearts of darkness. You can watch About Cherry on demand on many cable systems or via Amazon Instant Video, and it will be in selected movie theaters beginning today. So I'm so excited to talk to the two filthy minds behind it, co-writer Lorelei Lee and co-writer and director Stephen Elliott. Stephen Elliott is the author of 7 books, including the memoir The Adderall Diaries and the novel Happy Baby. He founded the online literary magazine The Rumpus, and About Cherry is his directorial debut. Lorelei Lee has worked as a performer and director in the adult film industry since 1999. She has an MFA in fiction from NYU and has taught writing at NYU, at the San Francisco Center for Sex and Culture, and in private workshops. Her writing has appeared in numerous publications and will also be in my new book coming up called The Feminist Porn Book. She's currently working on her first novel. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Stephen and Lorelei.
Thank you.
So tell me first, how did this project come about?
Well, really what happened was
James Franco bought the rights to my memoir, The Adderall Diaries. And then I wrote a script for The Adderall Diaries for James, and I just really loved it. You know, I was actually much more fun writing that script than I would have imagined. And I just wanted to keep going and write another script. And I had known that I wanted to write something set in the armory, you know, homeofkink.com for a long time. I'd done a lot of work with them. At one point, they had optioned some of my erotica stories. And so I tried to write some short stories, and I tried a novel, and I couldn't quite get at it. And so I wanted to try again now that I was really enjoying writing screenplays. And so I contacted Lorelei, who I've always known as a great writer, you know, to help me out.
And so this is essentially the second screenplay that you've ever written?
Yeah, essentially. I'd made a lot of, I'd made attempts here and there at things, but it was my second real screenplay, yeah.
I'm just thinking of all the struggling screenwriters out there who are thinking, wow, this is only the second film you've written, and it premiered at the Berlin Film Festival. I mean, do you consider yourself lucky with all the success that your film has had thus far?
I didn't really thought about it that way, I guess, so when you put it like that. I will say, I wrote 7 books, which is, you know, really good practice as far as screenwriting. You know, so it wasn't like I had never written something before. Certainly, you know, I think, you know, if you can write a novel, you can certainly write a screenplay. I think anybody that's done both would agree with that statement. But yeah, lucky in terms of raising the money and getting these great actors and knowing someone like Lorelei, you know, lucky in a lot of ways.
And Lorelei, how did your experiences as a sex worker inform the writing of this film for you?
It's funny. I'm laughing a little bit at what Stephen just said. Just going back to this idea of being lucky with this script. It's also my first experience writing a script, although I've written a lot of fiction and poetry and have been working on this novel. But I think we have been very lucky with the script, and a lot of it also has to do with Stephen's incredible drive. And in terms of the way that my own experience informed the script, people have asked a lot whether this is an autobiographical story, and it certainly is a work of fiction, but many of the experiences that Angelina has, especially in her personal relationships and the ways that she has to navigate this fact of having a job in the porn industry, having to navigate that with people that she cares about, that comes very much out of my own experience. And certain parts of her story, you know, originated in real events and then were changed and altered and made fictional in the script.
Stephen, you identify as a former sex worker. How did your experiences impact the way you wrote this film?
Well, you know, I mean, even though I haven't been in anywhere near the number of porns that Lorelei has been in, as a former sex worker, you know, I spent a year as a stripper in Chicago and so forth. I'm part of the sex worker community. You know, Lorelei and I both went on tour different years with the Sex Workers Art Show, and been really involved as activists in San Francisco for sex workers' rights and so forth. And so I know these people, you know, even though I'm not currently doing sex work, unless, you know, a friend of mine, you know, needs pictures on their website or something. but these are my friends, right? And when you know sex workers as people and you're part of a community, then you think of them as three-dimensional human beings, and that is going to inform totally how you write about them.
And I think another part of this is that Stephen and I have talked about this a lot, but that we've seen so many movies about sex workers that felt really far from our own experiences. And for me, I definitely wanted to tell a story in which the sex worker in question isn't forced to become reformed at the end or have some horrible disease as punishment. You know, like, doesn't have to atone for her experiences, which I think is such a funny trope in stories. It's so old and so oft-repeated.
And Lorelai, there is so much misinformation and misrepresentation about porn. When you were on the set, did you find yourself doing a kind of porn 101 for some of the actors?
Some of it, yeah. I mean, I was not the only one involved in doing that. Because it was shot at the Armory, people were passing each other in the halls, and, you know, there were porn performers working there every day while the film was being shot. So there were a lot of people that the actors got to talk to, and Heather Graham and Ashley Hinshaw both spent a lot of time talking to all of the various directors at kink.com, and I had a lot of conversations with them as well, and a lot of conversations about what the job, you know, has meant to me, and things like that they wanted to use to inform their character. It was really interesting, really exciting to be able to have those conversations.
And also Simone, one of our camera people, was also a camera person, one of the camera assistants with a full-time camera person at Kink. So she was on every shoot and every, you know, every setup. So we always had somebody there who worked in porn. So if there was ever a question, we could always get the answer.
Do you think some of the actors in this film were surprised at all hearing about the experiences of real sex workers, which didn't necessarily match up with some of their preconceived notions or some of what the media promotes about sex workers?
Definitely. I mean, I think Stephen can speak to this as well, but I know Heather was really interested in this whole concept of third wave feminism and sex positive feminism, which is not hugely a part of the movie, but is very much a part of the sort of the culture in which the story is told. And so we had a lot of conversations about that, and she, I think, was just really excited about these new ideas. But Stephen, you probably also heard much more from the actors what their feelings were about the script.
Yeah, I just felt what was most helpful to me, I thought, was them just being there. You know, the fact that Heather showed up many days early and Ashley was so committed to her role. And so they were spending all this time in the Armory. And the Armory is the largest foreign production studio in the world. And so they were immersed in this environment. And I think more than anything that I feel that they heard from any of us, I kind of felt that just being there, you know, and this scene, nothing we can tell you can replace just getting to know people as far as treating them like people, you know, like, it's, you know, integration is the way to end racism, right? You know, and it's a similar thing.
Stephen, there are so few films that depict the porn world in a complex, nuanced, or thoughtful way. Did you feel a lot of pressure to, for lack of a better phrase, get it right?
I wanted to get it right very much. You know, I don't think it's too complex to get right. I mean, I think that, you know, Lorelai has actually pointed out a lot of times when I've done interviews is, you know, this is a story. You know, it's not the story, right? This is not the porn story. This is not a universal experience. This is one possible experience of a person entering the world of porn. But the thing about it is it's a kind of experience that people have plenty of times, and yet it's not the one that ever gets told. The only one that ever gets told, it's a tragedy. It's the one where the porn performer is punished or has to find redemption.
Right. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, more with Stephen Elliott and Lorelai Lee talking about the film that they co-wrote about Cherry. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to thank one of my fabulous sponsors, the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off. 20% off is a really good deal. We're talking today with Stephen Elliott and Lorelei Lee, co-writers of the new film About Cherry, which Stephen also directed. Before the break, we were talking about how there are so many tragic representations of the porn world or sex work out there, and you were really trying to make something different. Stephen, what do you hope viewers take away from this film?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things, but if you're talking specifically about porn, you know, I would say that a lot of people, this is their job, you know, and so this is where they go to work, and to treat these performers like people rather than something other, you know. So that was certainly how I wanted porn to be perceived after people have seen this movie, you know, is that it's more complicated and that there's also this, you know, gigantic workforce that just goes to work every day. So that would be on the real surface, you know, non-complicated way. But I'm sure that I think Lorelei could probably speak to that better.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard because I don't expect someone to go see our movie and suddenly be, you know, knowledgeable about what my experience in porn has been like. It's not that kind of film. And when we wrote it, we weren't trying to prioritize, you know, teaching people about pornography or about the industry. We were really trying to tell a story above everything else. And so we talked a lot about that. And I think we both really hoped that people who watch the movie would empathize with the characters. I think that's what Stephen is saying, too, that seeing these characters as full people is really the goal. Like, that's the goal with any story that you write. And it sort of, maybe as part of a larger project, I would love it if there were many more of these kinds of stories that are nuanced and have all different kinds of outcomes and show people who work in the sex industry in all different kinds of lights, rather than telling the same kinds of stories over and over. But that is a larger project, and that would, you know, involve many, many different kinds of stories in order to be accomplished. But hopefully people just enjoy this movie and feel like they have had some kind of emotional experience.
Yeah, because we didn't look at it as a porn story when we were writing it. We looked at it as a coming-of-age story or a rags-to-riches story.
But I'm wondering where politics comes in, if it does. For example, the reviewer who reviewed the film for Variety wrote, this is a quote, "The oddest thing about the film is that Elliot and Lee's script makes no effort whatsoever to argue a pro-porn case. There's not even a token attempt to mount any kind of post-feminist alternative lifestyle defense of porn as empowering, subversive, or whatnot." Stephen, do you think that's an accurate criticism?
Well, you know, the reviewer from Variety actually called me after that review ran and apologized and said he had been drinking a lot and had a lot of problems at home and didn't really know anything about this stuff. So after that, I didn't really look at the review the same way. But I do think, you know, I don't actually fully understand what he's saying. You know, like, I think that this idea that, you know, just by showing people as people is somehow pro-porn, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not pro-porn. You know, it's the coming-of-age story. It treats people who work in pornography as real people.
Right. I think there was some expectation among critics and maybe audiences that because both of you are part of a community which includes sex workers, pornographers, performers, that you might make a direct political statement, whether that's through a specific character, one scene, not necessarily the whole movie, but to represent a maybe really specific feminist point of view.
You know, I think that, you know, if you look at the novels I've written, and I don't like to actually tell the reader what to think. I'd rather, you know, give the reader or the viewer of the movie, you know, enough room to come to their own conclusions, ultimately. You know, this is just, here is an accurate depiction, I hope, and you'll take from that what you want. I mean, the movie is not a polemic. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that About Cherry is a really enjoyable movie, and I don't think that the movie that he's describing, that I don't think he would recognize anyway if he got what he wanted. But if he did get what he wanted, I don't think he would enjoy it, you know, and that's okay too. There can be movies that are not that enjoyable, but they're very educational. Maybe there's certainly room for that, for those kind of movies as well, but it's just not the movie that we set out to make. You know, a dry polemical argument, you know.
Lorelai, you have a piece in the forthcoming book that I co-edited called The Feminist Porn Book. So I know you have a lot to say about feminism and porn. Do you think you were able to incorporate any of those values, ideas, politics into this film? Or was it really just about telling a solid story and leaving politics out of it?
Well, Stephen and I did have a little bit of disagreement about whether there was a place for that in the movie. And just as you just said, you know, we could have given some of the characters a few more moments of dialogue, just acknowledging that they were aware of some of these ideas. And I'm pretty sure, actually, that some of those scenes were filmed a little bit. I know that Heather Graham was really interested in doing some improvising in the moment where she has a conversation with Angelina in the bar, and it's sort of, you know, the experienced sex worker talking to the less experienced sex worker, that there could have been sort of place for some of that dialogue to come out. But I think, you know, Stephen felt really strongly that this was a story about that people's relationships with each other, and that kind of political dialogue would distract from those relationships. And in terms of what's the best way to tell a story, I think there's a lot of there's room for both of those ideas. And I think that actually what is really interesting is that people have also seen this film and decided that it was very political for exactly the reasons Stephen is saying, that the fact that we showed these people as treating porn as a job, like many other jobs, but also unlike other jobs in terms of the experiences people have, but that in itself was such a revolutionary concept that a lot of people walked away from this movie thinking that it was some kind of advocacy. So I think that no matter what you do, you can't control sort of the message that people take away in the end.
You know, you're telling a story, you're always kind of gauging, you know, you have your, you know, who are your viewers or who are your readers. And a lot of times when you're explaining something to one group, you're talking down to another. And so you're always kind of like walking a line there, you know, because if you're over-explaining things, then it quickly becomes very boring to people that get it. So, you know, it's tricky. That's always a line I think you're playing with. Even in a short story or a poem, you're still walking that. That line is always there.
So critics have not been kind to this film, but one of the things that strikes me, a thread running throughout many of their criticisms, is this idea that they're not taking the film seriously. And so I'm wondering if that rings true for you, if you have a sense that some people have dismissed this film because it's about porn and because our culture dismisses the value of porn.
I don't know. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own place they're coming from. I think that one of the things that affected how people looked at the movie was that there were, you know, a lot of great actors in the movie, and it was shot really well. And so they thought it was a $10 million movie when, in fact, it was a $500,000 movie. And, you know, there's a reaction if you feel like something's coming out of Hollywood. And maybe you let your guard down a little bit if you realize it's an independent film. I think, you know, there's a variety of things. There's a lot of people that cannot deal with a person coming into porn and finding herself in any way and not being punished for making porn. I mean, there's a huge, huge number of people that cannot accept that as a storyline, ever.
And even more than that, also, Tristan, I think you're exactly right that many people's experience with pornography is from other movies, other fictional stories that they've seen, and they really believe that those stories are accurate. And some of the, I didn't read all the reviews, but I did read a few, some that said things about how impossible it was that a porn company could be so clean.
Yes, I can remember one reviewer said it looked like working at Whole Foods, which is a fascinating characterization.
Right.
The idea that this job could be wholesome and in an eco-friendly environment.
Which is what kink is. I mean, kink is, somebody said, you know, oh, yeah, they're shooting porn in a castle, whatever. That's the San Francisco Armory. That is an actual porn studio. But they couldn't even accept that. They were like, it was, you know, we had created this castle to shoot porn in. We were actually just using, you know, the porn studio that was closest to where we live.
So for listeners who don't know, the Armory is an actual armory, or was. And it was bought by Peter Ackworth, CEO of kink.com, who famously paid millions of dollars for it and made it into the headquarters and studios of his company. Kink.com is a network of adult BDSM websites. And the Armory is a San Francisco landmark where porn just happens to be made. And speaking of San Francisco, I want to talk more about the role the city played in this film. But first, we're going to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out more. More Sex Out Loud with Stephen Elliott and Lorelei Lee talking about Cherry when we return.
talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Experience love with a little help from nature's soothing ingredients with Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant. This all-natural and botanical formula lets you get in touch with your wild side, all while keeping it green. Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant is glycerin, paraben, and alcohol-free, and it's made with aloe vera, vitamins C and E, and chamomile. But with the same second-only-to-nature feel that you get with your regular Astroglide. Visit astroglide.com to get your free sample and start hitting it green between the sheets today.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today I'm talking to Lorelai Lee and Stephen Elliott, the co-writers of the new film About Cherry, which Stephen also directed. Now, before the break, we were talking about people's perceptions of the porn industry and how working at a place like kink.com in real life can be just like another job and actually maybe quite normal, if we can put that word in quotes, or even wholesome. And I cut you off, Lorelai, before the break, but I know you wanted to talk more about that.
Well, I was just reminded of many of the questions we got from audience members at a few of the film festivals that we've been to, and questions like, isn't pornography more sinister, or doesn't porn have ties to the mafia, and, you know, how could you have told a story that doesn't include those elements, those dark elements? And, you know, in my experience, I've not seen any of those things to be true. But I do think it's funny how a lot of people feel that they have this authority on the subject. And again, I think that goes back to many of the stories that have been told about pornography that are much more fictional than ours.
And this really is an alternative view. And part of that is also about where it was shot. Stephen, you've mentioned several times about how important it was to shoot this at the Armory, a working adult film studio, and they were shooting porn as you were shooting the film. Several people have called About Cherry a love letter to San Francisco. Stephen, I'm wondering what it is about San Francisco for you that creates space for these alternative sexual communities to really thrive.
Gosh, I mean, we could probably both speak on this forever, but I don't know if I would have ever come out of the closet sexually if I hadn't landed kind of randomly in San Francisco. I mean, there are, you know, there's alternative porn in Los Angeles and other places, and there's third wave feminism in other places too, but I really feel that San Francisco is really ground zero for these things, for these movements, you know. I think it's a place where you're most likely to see find female porn directors, which is in fact a trend across the industry. But I think it comes out of San Francisco more. And San Francisco is an incredibly accepting place for alternative sexuality. And I think maybe that goes back to the sexual revolution and, you know, maybe before that, the Summer of Love. I don't know that San Francisco ever stopped.
Now, Lorelei, you've lived in both New York and San Francisco. So how do you think they differ in terms of alternative sexuality?
Yeah, I also spent some time in L.A., as you know. So I have sort of had a little bit of experience with people in alternative niches in each of those cities. And the truth is I've spent most of my time in San Francisco, and also it is the place, like Stephen, where I found myself in many ways and came out and, you know, really learned who I was. So I'm biased, is what I'm trying to say. And in New York, you know, I met a lot of amazing queers, a lot of amazing sex workers, and there's really a thriving community there. And I can't say actually specifically how it's different than San Francisco's community, except that you spend a lot more time on trains trying to get from one place to another in New York, whereas in San Francisco you can often walk, which is just to say that, you know, things are more separated, I think. It's larger. New York is larger. But they're both vibrant and really welcoming places, I found. And in L.A., I think a lot of the language is different, which is, I think, the most interesting difference. People in L.A. who embrace alternative sexualities and live their lives really in alternative cultures probably talk about it a little bit differently than they do in San Francisco and New York, where the language might be more politicized. There's my impressions. But.
And now that you've graduated from NYU, are you back in San Francisco full time?
I am. Yeah. I loved New York, but, you know, my life is here. My husband is here. So.
And Stephen, can you imagine living anywhere else?
Yes, I can imagine it, but I'm not going to. I frequently imagine it, but I will ultimately, I think, die in San Francisco. It's hard to imagine otherwise. In total. But you know, right now, I mean, I'll spend probably most of the next 6 months in New York putting together my next movie, and which will be shooting in Detroit in March and so forth. So I'm out of town a lot, but I'll always return to San Francisco. It's really, there is really a moment where I just realized that San Francisco is home, and I didn't want to start over again with that.
So what is your next film project, and why Detroit?
Well, my next film project is an adaptation of my novel, Happy Baby. And Detroit, because originally the novel was set in Chicago, but it's just much easier to shoot a film in Detroit. And also, you know, the book is set in a time in Chicago that I grew up in group homes and a fairly tough environment. And the city of Detroit has more in common with the Chicago I grew up in than I think Chicago does right now. It's a little raw, you know. It's a great, great place to shoot a movie. It's really accommodating. You know, with 24 hours notice, they were taking us to the juvenile detention centers and allowing us to shoot in prisons and so forth. And there's all these empty buildings, so it's a great place to shoot a movie. It's really the government here is really open to it and encouraging of it. So that's all really helpful on a lower budget independent film.
And Did you write the screenplay and you're also directing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, you know, when we were doing About Cherry, I didn't want to direct Cherry originally. I had written the screenplay for James Franco, and it took him like 3 weeks to get back to me. And even though that seems really fast, I didn't like it. I didn't like having to wait, and I didn't want to be reliant on other people. So I just thought I'd put this movie together myself. And so, and when Lorelai and I were writing it, I would always tell her, you know, we're going to have to let it go. The director's going to do whatever he wants or she wants. But I, at the time, had no idea I would be the one directing it. And it just turned out with the budget we were going to raise, you know, at $500,000, we weren't going to get a proven director. You know, you might get a good director, but you wouldn't really know if you were getting a good director. And so it just seemed easier if I just directed it. And that's what I did. And I fell in love with it. And now, yeah, now I really want to direct another movie. I mean, I'd like to write another book as well at some point. And I still, you know, I still do a lot of writing that's not movie related, but I'd definitely like to direct a few more movies. It's incredibly creatively fulfilling to direct a movie.
And Lorelai, what's on the agenda for you now that you've graduated from NYU, you have your master's degree, you've moved back to San Francisco? I know you're working on a novel. Do you want to give us a sneak preview of what that novel's about?
Oh, yeah. it's funny. The novel is about a female porn performer. And there's actually three main characters. And then there's her love interest, who is a transgender man from Canada who is also a porn director. And then there's the mother character in the story, who is a second wave feminist who grew up Catholic. And that's pretty much as I'm willing to give up about it right now, but I'm getting close to finishing the draft that I'm working on now, and I'm pretty excited about it.
And do you continue to perform and direct in porn?
I do. Yeah, I am guest directing a gangbang next week and performing as well. It's continued to be fun and challenging and always different for me. So I feel very lucky in that.
Lorelai, I know you've worked with mainstream adult film companies, and you've also worked with alternative, independent, and queer companies. I'm wondering what the difference is for you as a performer.
Yeah, sometimes they're not that different, you know? I think I've always, in my experience as a performer, I mean, I've been doing this for 13 years, which is always funny to say out loud, but and in all those years, it's always been the person more than the product, you know? So I've worked on mainstream projects, you know, mainstream porn projects, vanilla porn, couples porn, that kind of thing, that have amazing co-talent that I was working with, amazing directors, and then I've worked on, you know, alternative or especially like lesbian porn, so-called, where it had this sort of rigid idea of what it means to have lesbian sex, or, you know, so the people who were directing it were not as willing to, you know, be open to new ideas, that kind of thing, and you still felt pigeonholed. So really, it's about the people that I work with more than the kind of porn that they are ostensibly making.
We have to take another break and hear from the sponsors who make this radio show possible. If there's one thing you see on every single porn set, it's lube. And Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Go to astroglide.com to get a free sample. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking with two great guests today. Stephen Elliott, who's the author of 7 books and founder of therumpus.net, as well as the co-writer and director of the new film About Cherry. And his co-writer, Lorelai Lee, who has worked in porn as a performer and director since 1999 and is currently at work on her first novel. Now, at the top of the hour, I asked you if you felt lucky that you got to make this film, and it seems to me that you have a pretty kick-ass cast. I mean, James Franco, Heather Graham, Dev Patel, Lily Taylor, Ashley Hinshaw. These are really experienced performers in a very independent film by a first-time director. How was it to work with such established actors?
They were great, obviously, and it was super helpful to me as a first-time director. I think the biggest surprise that I had was I always imagined that a movie was all scripts and that a script would be like 100, right? And the best thing we could do is maybe an 80 out of 100. So you always lost something from the perfect movie because it never lived up to the script. And what I found out in this movie was that the actors actually make the movie better, you know, and that the movie is better than the script. And you end up working with people who know these characters that you created better than you do. You know, if you want to find out about these characters, you need to ask them. You know? And so that was amazing. And then learning to collaborate, which in particular with the actors, which in many ways is about making people feel safe. So they will go further than they might have gone otherwise because they know that they can do no wrong in your eyes. And so many of the ideas that the actors brought to the movie made the movie so much better, you know.
I feel like you're describing my directing process when I direct porn. It's my job to create this really safe environment and see if people will go places, do things, explore their boundaries in a way that they haven't before, but also that they bring so much to the table.
Yeah.
Without these performers, I mean, they flesh out the whole thing, whatever the thing is. They flesh it out, and sometimes they even take it in a direction that you weren't, as the director or as the writer, even expecting it to go. Is that your experience?
Absolutely. I mean, if the actor ever wanted to do something, I would always let them do it. If they ever wanted another take, you'd always give them another take. And sometimes it wouldn't work out. And so you would do it their way, and then you'd say, okay, we've got that. Now let's try it like it is in the script, because we already have the other one in the can. So let's just have this just in case. You know, you get both versions, but then in the editing room, you end up maybe liking the one that you didn't think you were going to like. But the actors, you know, each of them has their own thing. You know, Johnny Weston shows up, and he's kind of a method actor, and he's in character, and he's playing Bobby, you know, the first boyfriend. And everybody in the management office hates this guy, you know, because he's in character the whole time. And I just loved him. I immediately knew what was going on. It was so great, you know. And then James Franco shows up, and he hasn't, you know, slept in 2 days, at least that's what we're told. And he, you know, doesn't know his lines, and he looks at the script for half a minute and then just delivers these lines perfectly, without really any direction, you know. Ashley Hinshaw, you could tell her, I need you to land right here and say your line on this spot. And she could do it because she was there, but she was also in her head watching herself, you know. Whereas, you know, Heather Graham was incredibly creative in a different way, and the camera really had to follow her. So each one of them brought their own thing to the table, but all of them made the movie better. And of course, you know, people like Lily Taylor, you know, with her theater background and so forth, and she was so thorough.
And did you think about Heather Graham right off the top for her part?
No.
Because one of the interesting things that Heather Graham brings to this film is that she reminds us of this other mainstream film about the porn industry, Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
And so her presence on screen has this kind of historical significance in the world of movie making. Was that deliberate?
No, she wasn't. I had no idea, but when I found out that she wanted to play the role, I was really excited. I mean, right away, I was like, oh, my God, that would be great. And, you know, and people talk about, you know, getting these name actors, and then it helps you raise money, and that's true a certain amount, but it also really helps get a fantastic crew, because you have people like Darren Janais, a cinematographer, who, you know, already works on all these big projects, and he doesn't want to make a small indie movie that he doesn't think is going to be seen. So that becomes, you know, the quality of the crew is also has a lot to do with how the movie turns out in the end. But Heather was just remarkable. I mean, she brought so much. She had so many great ideas. And we were talking on the phone for months before we started shooting. I mean, Heather would call me all the time with ideas. And many of them, you know, made it into the final version of the movie.
That's fantastic. Well, we have a sort of newish tradition here at Sex Out Loud, which is that we close each interview by asking our guest or guests the same question. So I'm going to start with you, Lorelai. Lorelai, what is sexy to you?
Oh, wow. Sincerity is number one, and self-confidence.
And Steven, what is sexy for you?
Wow, what a crazy question. despite my politics and wanting people to be more open about their sexuality, I probably find mystery to actually be the sexiest trait. The unknown, you know, close and not knowing what's going to happen, all of those kind of things are to me extremely sexy. You know, at the same time, I want people to be
more open about their sexuality because it gives us political power. So what are you going to do?
Well, I know what's not a mystery, and that is that today, September 21st, About Cherry opens in theaters in New York and San Francisco. If you're not in one of those cities, you can watch About Cherry on demand on many cable systems or via Amazon Instant Video. Thanks so much for being on the show, Stephen and Lorelei.
Thank you.
It's really great.
Stephen edits the literary magazine therumpus.net, and you can find out about his various projects at stephenelliott.com. Lorelei Lee blogs at guesswhatideservethis.wordpress.com, and you can visit her adult site at loreleileexxx.com. You can follow Stephen on Twitter at S3_Elliott and Lorelei at Miss Lorelei Lee. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Tune in next week when my guest will be USC professor and cultural critic Jack Halberstam, talking about Jack's new book, Gaga Feminism: Sex, Gender, and the End of Normal. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at sexoutloudradio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.